click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Pivot Point
on Kaya Biz. Kaya Biz.
Whether we're talking about the MPC, whether we're talking about Trump and the trade tariffs, or perhaps vehicle trends that we're witnessing in South Africa, especially when it comes to one of the biggest and most respected institutions that is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, SEDA. It's an entity that plays a critical role when it comes to enabling logistics in South Africa, not just through Avis, which you and I might interact with when you want to quickly hire a vehicle. But bear in mind that they're also providing solutions for consumers in the medium to long term, but more so also help within the commercial segment of things, making sure that the goods and services that you and I require to be moved from the ports to distribution centers, to the shopping centers, and ultimately to our doorstep are fulfilled by providing vehicles as an asset to the logistics environment. Tonight, we talk to the CEO, group chief executive, that is, of SEDA Limited. Many of us would be familiar with some of the customer-facing brands like Avis. Tonight, we speak to Ramasela Ganda. I've waited a long time for this conversation, and I'm so excited. So pardon me if I do happen to go fan, but perhaps it's just a way of acknowledging a wide range of respect that we have for individuals who are at the helm of driving the strategic direction and outcomes of some of the biggest institutions that we happen to interact with. Ramasela Ganda, such a pleasure to have you with us in studio, ma'am.
Finally, Google.
Right?
Very nice to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm excited to have you here. Typically, it's always company results, and we take a look at your key metrics, what's gone up, what's gone down, and the macroeconomic themes. And I guess since the last time we spoke, the world is just filled with a lot of volatility, right? Some good news and some challenging environments, right?
Especially this afternoon.
Yes.
Right? Very excited.
Yes.
Look, Google, just like the rest of the public, I'm actually thinking today. Let's adjust the rate tonight.
I agree. It would definitely provide South Africans with a lot of reprieve. And I imagine that you also think in terms of numbers because you are a chartered accountant. Much of your experience.
And I carry a lot of debt.
You do. We all do, right? Yeah. In some way or another, even in our business capacities and individual capacities. But I just want to start off, I guess, with the theme of the kind of business you lead. When you started at Avis, you initially, the business was still under Barlow World before its unbundling and listing and being called and renamed SEDA. And before that, you used to take care of Barlow World Equipment as chief financial officer. But you fundamentally always served within the role of being the numbers girl. And I think that's an important aspect just to talk about when it comes to that, playing a critical aid and level of support when it comes to driving the strategic direction of any business.
Gugu, you know, I was very fortunate. My very first CFO role back in 2001, I was following the footsteps of a CEO.
Yes.
And she was becoming the CEO. And she said to me, I do not want a number cruncher. I want a strategic partner.
Mm.
So being a CFO doesn't, you know, I won't benefit. And that was a good foundation. She laid the foundation to me that CFO is not a number cruncher business.
Mm.
It's a business, it's a strategic partner to the CEO. And that was it. From that beginning, you know, I knew that when I look at numbers, I must think about the future.
Mm.
And remember, when we mostly in the CFO role, it's about the history.
Yes.
How did we perform? Mm. Why is this? It was never about that with her. And she was very hard.
Yeah.
She was very hard on me to say, no, we're not talking about, I can always count and check what happened last week. I can go to the system and check what happened. I just want to know how we're going to do it.
And I'm so glad you highlight this because the numbers from the past really do give you some indication of how to respond to the future. And maybe let's go there briefly. I am aware that you might be in a closed period as SEDA, so you can't disclose a lot of details regarding your finances and the organization. But in terms of the strategic direction, boy oh boy, you've seen quite a significant level of growth. And largely when it comes to, you know, the commercial relationships that you have, but also Gugu, Snenjabulo, Mudibedi, who actually go to Avis and hire a car. Contextualize your business for those of us who might not be familiar with all its intricacies.
You know, Gugu, as you say, when I started with Avis, we were talking about car rental, and that's where our focus was, and that's where I started. And, you know, the dividend of COVID, as we tend to say that, was the integration of the business. So at that moment, we integrated the leasing business and the car rental. But it also gave us an opportunity to reflect and saying, you know, we can be car rental and be ready to die a couple of years back. in the future. Or we can reposition ourselves and say, what exactly are we? And at that moment, we decided we want to be an integrated mobility solution provider. And operating in 11 countries was, what can we do better? Being an integrated mobility solution provider meant that we are not focusing on the airport only. Yes. We are not a tourism business. And the good thing at that time, and I'm calling good thing hindsight, because then we had to come up with innovation, new product. And that's when the subscription was born. You know, subscription was born in May 2020 when a lot of people will say, what is subscription? And basically subscription will say, you can get a car anytime, for how long, from anywhere you want. And that's where we started with this, and saying, we're not renting from the airport, we're not renting, and we're not renting for a day, for a week.
Yes.
If you need a car, why do you keep a car in the garage and pay installment and pay insurance? You know, things that are just cost adding. If you need a car, get a car from us. Well insured, tires fixed. I mean, the pain of checking people fixing tires on the road and the cost that comes with it. When you're in subscription, all cost covered. You know, you don't have to say. And that, those are some of the things that came in 2020. And I mean, I remember in April we started, and the number of people, I mean, we ended up having more than 5,000 in that period.
So oversubscribed in terms of your expectations.
Especially in light of everybody knows that no one was moving.
Yes.
Right. And you realize there's a market here.
Yeah.
So we then started, you know, growing the subscription product, and it's doing very well even now. I think that's the product we're very proud of.
Yeah.
That it's not, it is the current of the future. It's
exactly.
Mobility. It's all about what you need whenever you need, because we're just talking about interest rate now. You know, we get stressed when it goes up because of the debt. When you're in subscription, it doesn't affect you. You really
so it's a fixed rate in terms of the agreement that you get.
You know,
into.
It's the agreement that you have. And we have seen people taking it for a year. We have seen people, and then we subsequently introduced what we call iLease.
Yes.
And iLease was now saying, take the same product, but for as long as you want. And the beauty about, we've got, I mean, just under 200,000 cars under management. The beauty about us is that you can change your car anytime and say, you know what?
Depending on the brand, the size, the color.
You know, I've just gotten a promotion. I've got a new project. The kind of life I'm in now doesn't allow me to be seen with this car. Look, looks is everything. Status is everything. We promote it at Avis.
What I'm so intrigued by, as you mentioned, you know, being this integrated mobility solutions provider. At the time, there was a lot of criticism, right? Because people said, we've got e-hailing services.
Yep.
South Africans do have a culture of loving ownership, especially of assets like vehicles, fixed assets and movable assets. And I'm quite keen to see, you know, how you've seen that trend and dynamic shift.
You know, our target was a certain age, you know, your new entry into the market, and we thought this is the market. Interesting enough, that has changed. We're seeing a lot of parents buying into the subscription for their children.
And
because their children don't have that attachment that you had.
Yes, because we work so hard. Right, this
own.
Was my first car. This is the brand.
No.
Right?
We actually saying, you know, when people go home during Christmas and, you know, everybody else is coming to show the success of the year.
Yes.
You know what? Use us. If you get, take a car, go home and just say, Ma, I made it in life. Look, you still pay for it, right?
Yeah.
In essence, you have made it.
Oh,
right?
I love it, Ramasila.
So show off. So if you really want to go to this function driving an M8, drive an M8. If you want to drive a Kwid, drive a Kwid. Bank it on us. That's basically what we're saying. And it's about mobility. Because, you know, for accountants like us, we've always been taught a vehicle is not an asset.
Exactly. It depreciates.
So because we understand that it depreciates and we know how to manage a depreciable asset, you know, we can have it in our books. But you don't have to do what we're doing.
Exactly.
And I mean, one thing that the integrated mobility, we grew our car sale business. You know, a lot of people will say, do you sell cars? And I just want to take something, you know.
And they're surprised by that, yeah.
They get surprised. And people say, no, I won't drive a rented car. Word of advice. You know, I heard the sugar advice earlier. Word of advice that the bulk of the cars
that are on
that
the
are
road.
Owned as secondhand.
Exactly.
They're just coming from us. You just didn't buy them from Avis. You bought it from a wholesaler that bought it from us. And you just chose to pay just additional margin from changing the name Avis or Zeda to someone else. So smarter, next time when you need a second-hand car, test what Avis prices in car. And second-hand, all our vehicles are owned by one person, and that person is Zeda. So you're not buying a car that we're owned by somebody you don't know.
Mm.
And we manage and we maintain our vehicle to the T.
Mm.
The moment our vehicle go to a dealership, dealer floor ready.
Got you. I think that's so important because so often, and we've had this conversation before where we thought, okay, well, we buy cars, the likes of AutoZone as well, our competitors to you. But as you've mentioned, you actually supply a lot of the bigger players within the industry. And I'm just naming those and a few others that actually might exist already in the market. I'm so keen, and we touched on this briefly the last time we spoke about your company results. Is the demand for Chinese vehicle brands? South Africans want something cheaper, affordable, with all the bells and whistles, but doesn't come at an extra cost. How are you positioned here as Zeda when it comes to participating with some of these brands?
You know, Zeda is brand agnostic, which is a big plus. So it has to work for us. What does that mean? And I guess this is what, if you're still in the ownership mentality, when you buy a car, your total cost of ownership must make sense.
Mm.
So how much it will cost you to maintain it, how much will you get when you eventually get out of it? Because, you know, most of us have this illusion that we own cars, but you know, those are always the bank's asset. And when you want to get out of it, you know, you refinance it and refinance it, and, you know, you've got a nice balloon because you're trying to manage the cash. We've gotten into the Chinese, but you know, when we got into it, the bulk of it is the companies that have been here for a while.
Okay, you know, which would be, can you say, I understand. Their sensitivities, these are your clients.
They have been around South Africa.
I am searching on your website as we speak.
They've been around South Africa for a while and they're doing very well. So one of the thing is, if we cannot make money out of it, you must know that we are holding it for third party. The OEMs.
Ah, okay.
So we will then say to the OEMs, look, the risk of this car is too high. You want to market it? For sure. Bring it to the Avis and we will easily rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the period, we say, thank you very much. Return to sender.
I see.
So we will not take it. We are very careful and very critical about return on investment. We want to make sure that the car that we put in our books is the car that we will make money out of it. If we think we're not going to make money out of it, you won't find it in our books.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned this because it obviously speaks to, you know, this holistic ecosystem of what vehicle, I can't even say vehicle ownership, but vehicle management and logistics solutions are, automotive solutions are in South Africa. It's the vehicle itself and, of course, the price of the particular asset. The maintenance that's also required.
And availability.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yes,
right?
That's a big one, right? Especially
look for
this pandemic.
If you cannot find place where there's a car park, you must know. Where am I going to get the parts? Mm-hmm. How long will it take? Look, we still have high accident on our road.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody bumps and your bumper is down, will it take you a week, a day?
And I'm assuming Avis obviously has relationships, Zeda has relationships with the OEMs to make sure that that's prioritized. Some OEMs are under pressure, though. Some closures in the Eastern Cape, concerns about exports. What influence is that playing on your strategic direction?
You know, this, as much as we are brand agnostic, one thing, we are responsible citizen. And one of the things that is at the top of my mind is, yes, Chinese brands and all the others are good, but what are they doing to the job market?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? So as much as we're going for what is cheap, mm-hmm. as a responsible leaders in South Africa is, make sure that when we do away with the current jobs that are in the Eastern Cape, there's a good replacement. So next time when you buy a car, you know, we talk about sustainability.
Mm.
We talk about responsible. How do we become responsible if I'm just buying cheap, but in the meantime, there are number of jobs that are being lost?
Hey.
You know, it is the reality. And now we're going to see unemployment rate goes up. We're going to see all these kind of things that happen. So really, I am very passionate that as I'm going to support you, and I mean, Zeda buys a lot of cars, but we're going to support you for as long as you become a responsible investor in South Africa. You will not just destroy jobs and not create jobs. So for us is, you know what? It might be cheap, but in a long time, it will hurt us. And we cannot afford it as a country. I mean, we operate in 11 countries. And I know people will say South Africa with its regulation and all the other stuff. But for a country that is still having this level of unemployment, it is incumbent. I cannot talk about sustainability based on emission
yes.
and talk about EVs and then forget about job creation. So for me, sustainability is, hello.
Yeah.
We had Roslyn, right? We had East London.
Mm.
We cannot talk in past tense.
Mm.
We need to make sure that as a country, those areas do not die because we cannot afford it. And that, for me, is the sustainability in a mobility space.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. ES and the G
do
need to be prioritized. It's 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with the CEO of Zeda, Group CEO of Zeda. It is a integrated mobility solutions company. And typically, we know it and interact with the brand Avis in particular. We are talking and in conversation with her through Pivot Point tonight, where, as you've heard, we've given you a full scope and a deeper understanding of the strategic direction of the business. We continue with our Pivot Point conversation with the Group Chief Executive at Zeda Limited. Zeda, as many of us are well aware, is a company listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, made its debut shortly after the pandemic, but is led by Ramasela Ganda and helping us understand the operations of the business, which we typically discuss during results season. But we're getting a lot more perspective on the themes we should consider now. Ramasela, I am so intrigued, and I think you really left us to think differently around sustainability, and not just as consumers, but also as entrepreneurs, as business leaders, as to what is sustainability that we're driving for. And as you mentioned, so often we talk about ESG, environment, social and governance, and we're quick to say, well, lower emissions, but what about the social impact regarding jobs? What about operating with integrity and prioritizing good governance? And I believe this speaks to your leadership style, your leadership guidance, even the team that you work with at Zeda, which I'll come to in just a moment. But I'm quite keen to understand, you know, what pivotal shifts have happened in your career and within the spaces that you've worked that have influenced your thinking. You know, as you said, you move from being encouraged to not just be a number cruncher, but be a strategic thinker and partner. But, you know, just even your thoughts on sustainability also speak to a shift in mindset that many of us also need to adopt.
You know, I think public sector had a major role to play there. You know, I remember working for National Nuclear Regulator, you know, eyes were open at that time. We're talking about, we still had Pebble PBM. We had that, mm-hmm. and with Kube. And there was a lot that one was not getting to understand what are we doing about energy. I mean, I'm talking about many years ago, before the load shedding years,
yes.
right? And understanding sources of energy. But the real change for me was working for municipality, you know,
yes.
impactful.
And you were CFO there.
I was CFO.
Which means that you know the PFMA.
You understand MFMA.
Oh, it's a lot, right?
Look. And Systems Act and whatever. And when I went there, you know, I remember joining Ekurhuleni. It used to be called Ekurhuloto. And, you know, there were a lot of talks about, no, you won't survive in Ekurhuleni, the kind of person you are, you know, there will be threats and all kinds of things that come.
A woman of integrity, a leader of integrity.
It really didn't register. You know, sometimes I think there was a lot of just naivety, I don't know. But one thing I was clear about was I wanted to make an impact. And I didn't just come here to be a number cruncher, as I was taught many years ago,
yes.
and continuously looking for opportunity to make a real change. And that also started from a policy point of view. I mean, as a CFO, I remember changing the policy and presenting it to council. And it was something that one will take it for granted. But this
changing
is just
policy?
Policy. Remember, people will say, this needs political will
yes.
and all kinds of things. Let me give shout out to my political leaders at that time. I think Monty Gungubela was just ahead of his time, and I had my MMC,
uh-huh.
you know, that passed on. But they were ahead of their time. And so political leadership was there that was understanding. And I remember proposing a policy to them to say, you know, we had a policy that when we switch off your light, as mm-hmm. municipality will do, we will only reconnect you if the owner, title holder of a property comes. And as I was visiting different facility, I used to do what the Japanese call gemba, which I go to the facility where the work is done, and I'll go there. And I remember in Tembisa, I met one lady. She said to me, "Mtwanam, I've left my store. I sell veggies there. I came here that you guys are here because I'm working, my husband left me and I am in the dark, but I've got cash. Oh. I cannot pay because you want a title holder. Mm. And my husband is 4 houses down, but he refuses to come. Mm. Do you want me and my kids to remain in the dark, or do you want my money for me to have quality of life? Mm. And I thought, what kind of a CFO will I be if I leave this? Then I'm no longer a leader. I'm just following the policy blindly. And I don't have anything. I think when we write policies as people, you know, we think about what we think about, but we don't have consideration. And I remember proposing that policy to council to say, it's not about title. You know, this woman wants to pay for the electricity and, you know, circumstances are circumstances. And her circumstance is not unique.
Yes.
It's not just her. It's happening in many households. So are we saying, what are we going to promote? Zinyoga? Is it what the kind? Because the next thing she will do, she'll find someone to reconnect. Mm. Now we're going to be fighting crime.
Yeah.
So let's stop there. And it's all this kind of things that, you know, we're shaping how I prepare the budget. You know, I remember we were talking about budget presentation and we'll go to the community and you know, the political parties will say, social. And I'm saying, no. Economic growth will lead to social.
Yes.
Now, if you want to do grants. No. The CFO, we need to have allocation for social. And we got to a point where they understand that Isando Roads needs to be tar. Because the industries that are in Isando are the ones that will give us money, that money we will be able to build houses, we'll be able to put, you know, indirectly we will have a direct impact on the life of people. And it has always been that as to when you, whatever you're thinking about, what is the long-term impact of it? Because once we make sure that industry don't die, I mean, now R21 is a very good, you know, logistic hub. And those were the designs of the time. People were talking about, you know, take a lot, even before take a lot had it. And those are the things that once take a lot can pay rent, take a lot can pay electricity, take a lot. Look, we will be able to upgrade Katlego.
Yeah.
We will be able to upgrade, you know, Foslo. And that's what we're about. We don't go and upgrade Foslo by giving people, you know, whatever we are doing now, but that's not sustainable. You want to teach people how to do things and empower them to do it. And I mean, I remember at one point the community said, don't build houses for us, just give us the land, make sure that we've got. And we have to go with the flow and listen to the people and then say what will be the best thing. And I think as a leader, if we do not have an ear, if we don't listen, you know, we will always make decisions that are just of self-interest and not be impactful. And I guess then life is about being impactful, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so intrigued by this because your experience in the public sector is also reassuring, right? That with the right talent, with the right leadership that listens, but also listens to act and implement the change and understand the influence that this has on the long term, we really could drive a level of great success within our municipalities and our provincial governments and even at a national level. The same level of success that you're carrying now within the private sector. And what I'm hearing from you say is that not only do you listen to the end customer, but you also strike me as someone who listens to your team. For anyone who goes onto the Zeda website and they take a look at members of your exco, I don't want to label this as just black females in the role, because the truth is, for anyone to be in their role and to maintain it, you need to be excellent. No one cares about your gender. No one cares about your race. You need to be excellent. But I was just so intrigued by the prioritization as well of active and key transformation, maintaining excellence in delivery, head of legal, CIO, human capital, financial director, your chief risk officer, commercial leasing officer, investor relations officer, are all
COO.
Exactly. Are all amazing females.
Smart like a headache, right?
Yeah.
What have I done in life? You know, one of the things about when we get into the exco meeting is that, you know, people will say black women, where's diversity? We are so different. We come from different background. We think completely in a different way. You know, we will look at you and it's like, what are you smoking? Right? Because we're just so different from
each other. I even love the freedom in the use of that kind of language for a Jay-Z listed company.
We are just so different. And that's where you see, and we are hard on each other. I think the good thing about, in especially black women in today's day, because we always know everybody else is watching.
Yeah.
You know, our bar is always set above for each other. Mm-hmm. And we hold each other accountable. You know, half of my job is done before I even open my mouth. And that's what makes it easy. Mm. That's what makes it easy that I've got women that are focused, that are driven. My goodness, people talk about succession plan. I can tell you now, Gugu, without a shadow of doubt, that my board knows my succession plan of this ladies.
Oh, wow.
On my, like,
and you're right, it's not even just one option. You've got, like,
they don't have to look any, they don't need to look any, and I say it to them every time. I go to the board meeting and I say, this is my succession plan.
Mm.
And the thing I tell them every time is that be confident enough that you've done a good job, that the next person can come into it and the person will do it. And just do that. Don't, you know, we're not the generation of hoarding the role. We're here for an impact and we move. And every time when they say, and I ask them, tell me, who's succeeding you? Who? I don't know. They always know I have a problem with that. Because I said to them, our job here is a transit. We are a mobility business.
Yes.
So we should
be.
We are in transit.
Exactly.
And we need to make sure that we leave a very strong legacy. But I must say, come into strategy. I mean, the moment we started with the usership economy, and we said, you know what? Our aspiration is to become. The debate that started in that boardroom was just, I always reflect on it and say, you don't put anything just on the table and everybody else buy it here. You know, the moment you say something, be ready to back your story, because they will not say, oh, it sounds good. Yes. No, no, no. Good luck to you.
Mm.
The moment you present something, be ready to stand, argue it, and they will thrash it out. And if it doesn't make sense, go back.
Go back.
And come back. So I've got an incredible group of women and men, by the way.
And men, yes. Mr. Fanir Kerk and Mr. Nkambisa, we acknowledge you too.
Yeah. And men that sometimes, you know, you look at them, you know, like thinking, really? Gender is all that we are born with.
Yeah.
All of us complement each other. And
100%.
And that's where we are. We are a team of Zeta that are very passionate about this company. We've got funders mentality.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that Zeta succeed, not only for us, but we know we've got a lot of people in the Zeta household.
Oh, you certainly
brand
do.
Ambassador.
Exactly. And individuals that work in the background that we might not even see when it comes to the maintenance of the vehicles, the ecosystem and the supply chain of
actually procuring.
Exactly.
So.
And perhaps that's also why I could talk to you for the rest of the day. I promise you, Ramasela, there's so much I want to get to. But I find it so encouraging that you've given us a refreshing perspective of your business and its strategy, your response as well to the macroeconomic environment and some of the shifts and changes. And also a very clear understanding that in as much as you work to drive shareholder value, you also look to have a purpose, drive sustainability and have an impact within the local economies that you serve in, all 11 markets across the African continent. I love the theme of leadership that you've shared with us, and I'm quite keen for you just to share your messaging, I guess, with other leaders, because we always learn from each other, regardless of sectors, of age, of gender, or even association with the public or private sector, or even labor. And I'm quite keen, when you take a look at the South African environment right now, bearing in mind all the threats, the concerns, the risks, and the opportunities that exist as a business leader, as a passionate South African, what do you believe we need to prioritize in order to shift the trajectory of our economy and its people going forward?
We need to guard our country jealously so. We need to guard our continent jealously so. It's a flat world, yes. Global world, everybody participate. But this country that we've been given, you know, God has blessed us with this country that is God endowed with minerals, good people, you know, agriculture. Our job every day is literally, and it's not a cliche, how do we leave, not Zeta, but how do we leave this world better than we found it? And how do we do that? Every day, if I'm not impactful, if I don't touch you, if I don't touch the next person, let me go home. You know, I had a moment of reflection. I had some family matters that got me a little bit out of balance in the last couple of weeks. And I went back to the office, and one lady said to me, Ramasela, I turned 60. And I remember saying to her, happy birthday. And then I left. And this week, almost 8 days later, and I thought, did I just say happy birthday to someone who turned 60? It hit me so hard the whole day. The first thing in the morning when I gathered with my ex-queen, I said, I need to correct it. Mm-hmm. We don't just say happy birthday to a 60-year-old and feel like we've done. So if you do not have a purpose, if you don't know what you stand for, and guiding this country starts where you are. Look after the people that we are and make sure that we expand into, you know, next level. Why should we be comfortable when certain things are being done in our country and we just watch? Mm. We cannot afford to be spectators. You know, my team will be saying, will you say that? And I said, what kind of a leader will make me if I want to be always on the right side of what the crowd is saying? You know, I need to make sure that I say it in the, say the truth that will make sure that it makes our life better. Yeah. I need to make sure to say to, you know, an OEM that comes to South Africa to come and dump, to say, not in this country.
Because
I know by saying not in this country, I'm talking for thousands and millions of people that are hoping somebody will speak on their behalf. So as leaders, we need to stand and we need to talk on behalf of this country. You know, there's so many. Champion whatever you want to champion.
Yes.
But choose. You cannot be on the fence. The country does not have room for people that are on the fence.
100%. Ramasela, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am. And if there's anything that I'm learning from you is that you see people. From the lady at Ukuruleni, the Gogo, who just wanted to comply and make sure that she pays her bills. You see the employees who work within the automotive industry and components parts that you might not interact with on a day-to-day, but you understand the impact that they have on their families and their livelihoods. And you see the 60-year-old colleague who you recognized, hold on, we should be celebrating you beyond just saying happy birthday and brushing it off like another Tuesday. So your leadership is appreciated. I could literally speak to you all day, and it seems like I'm not the only one. I'm due to wrap up this interview, but we've got three amazing voice notes from some of our regulars who share commentary here on Kaya Biz. So let's hear from Matabo, Jane Gwenya, and Mobulao.
Wow, it's great hearing from Ramasela Ganda again. I remember she used to be interviewed in business shows like yours back in the days when she was still, I think she was a financial manager at Ekurhuleni, and she used to get clean audits. Is it clean audits in your language, Gooks? But yeah, it's great to hear her making strides in her career and really just achieving great results in the company that even now as a private entity doing so well. Yeah.
You know what, that lady, she's a powerhouse actually. Injula Corpo le lonayo lapho esisigugu. Umuntu ohlakaniphile, umuntu ongabheki into ngelisho elibukwa abanye abantu, but ubheka ama pros and cons where situation akumele apply and then bese azane with a better plan for that. Actually, kahle kahle kakhulu umuntu osebenzisa SWOT analysis. If only leaders ebesinawo nakuma political parties bewacabanga njengalo mama lona, we would be so far. We would be so very, very far because of, like, in a way, ngilalele, she's educating me at the same time she's empowering you. We understand. Something to think about.
You know, Sis Cook, some of your interviews are so inspiring, it's not even funny. You know, I sit in my monthly meetings, and around the table, you count two black women. This is a table of about 15, and the rest is white male counterparts. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, this is not something to be proud of. This is not something to be proud of. Because in 2025, we're still having first black women doing something. Why is such they're still going to have to be first black somethings? Hi, guys.
Oh, man. Amazing voice notes that have come through. They're reflecting on the conversation we've just had with the Group Chief Executive of Zeda Limited, Ramasela Ganda. Thank you to Mobulawa, Matabo, and Jane Gwenga for sharing their feedback. Ramasela, I hope that as you leave the studio today, you acknowledge that your leadership is felt. The impact is seen and is supported.
Thank you. Really grateful. What a wonderful voice, especially the Ukuruleni one.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate the time.
We'll touch base again during company results.
Right. Definitely. Yep. Thank you.
Ramasela Kanda, Group Chief Executive of Zeda Limited.
Hi, Googs. Temba here. I always enjoy listening to your show. And I think today's interview with Ramasela was amazing. It's very interesting to see that we still have leaders in our community. And we hope that she has inspired many of them. Well, she's inspired me. And I hope that there's many others that have been inspired. And kudos to you as well. Keep up the great work. And we really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you for a beautiful show, as always. Inspirational and educational. That lady there is a powerhouse. I'm intrigued. Yeah, thank you for a good show, Gugu. It's Zethu from Vosloorus.
Pivot Point on Kaya Biz. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.